good Sunday morning to you. Just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday and have been for 6 years now. Just celebrated the six-year anniversary. We are live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio here in Las Vegas. The we typically includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead them to a bowl game. And he is the radio color voice for Rebels football and the co-host of the Tony Sanchez Show Wednesday nights throughout the season on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. But I got a text from Caleb at almost 4 in the morning telling me his flight was delayed and he probably was not going to make it in and probably has justifiably turned into definitely. A lot of Lees there. But he did say before the game yesterday that UNLV would beat Wyoming by 3. The guy who shocked me when he said the Rebs would win by a touchdown is also here, and that's producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who also plays the role of locker room radio reporter for Vegas Golden Knights radio game broadcast. Well, the two of them, Caleb's on the line. Chris is here. We're going to start off talking about that in a minute. The show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live. Not today, though. Typically, you can on my page and the show's page, the Out of Line page. The show's called Out of Line again. That is OUTTALINE. ALINE. You can watch the show on Facebook there a little bit later on. The show is live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio. So, again, if give us a call if you'd like. 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, what's on tap? Thanks to title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. On tap, last day of the baseball season, week 4 of football season, the Golden Knights play San Jose in a preseason game at T-Mobile Arena, and then again in the home opener of the regular season this coming Wednesday. The WNBA Finals start today, and they don't include the Aces. And also, we've got a big golf outing and some great talent playing this week out at TPC Summerlin. Plus, Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports will be joining, and he's got some great facts to share with us. What's on tap comes your way thanks to the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for home financing answers. Check out cardinalfinancial.com. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. At Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, at that location, we do our Monday night football parties every Monday during the course of the season. I'm there every Monday night. Caleb makes his way out there occasionally. So does Mags. And we bring some celebrities with us. We give away replica jerseys, wing parties, a whole lot more. And also now we are doing Vegas Golden Knights watch party. Had our first successful one last week, Wednesday, at the Buffalo Wild Wings out on Eastern in Henderson, and had a great time, man. Gave away 2 lower bowl tickets to the home opener against San Jose. A lot of bling, and I also want to thank Brett Raymer from the former hit show Tanked on Animal Planet joined me, and man, he actually was really cool, man. He gave away, he helped me do the raffle, and it was pretty cool. But when we talk about Blazin', and Caleb, how you doing, man? I won't keep you too long. We got to let you get to bed. What the hell, your plane came in late?
My goodness. I mean, Laramie's never been good to me. It's always cold and windy, and something always goes wrong. Fortunately for us, we were there early this year, but still, something went wrong. Our plane, for whatever reason, was 3 hours late. So after the game, you know, we're sitting around waiting for the plane, and it's cold. It's 40 degrees, and we get worried that the plane won't be there for another 3 hours. So we're just sitting around waiting at the charter airport there, and
good old Laramie.
We didn't end up leaving until 2 in the morning. So it was like, my goodness, what else could go wrong on this trip, you know?
Well, I thought, actually, that maybe the plane got delayed going to Laramie and somebody else showed up and wore UNLV uniforms. Because when you said they were going to win by 3 points and Mag said by a touchdown, I got dialed in. I'm like, wow, I got them losing by 6. And we were all wrong, except I was at least on the right side, and I wish I wouldn't have been. What the hell, Caleb? I mean, you know, it, from start to finish, this game just looked like a mess. The first quarter, I guess you could say, was a win for the most part. But the second quarter, things just got out of whack, and they never looked back.
Yeah, no, it was a landslide, an avalanche of everything that could possibly go wrong for UNLV in a game or even in a season that happened in that second quarter. The first quarter, like you said, was a little bit of a back and forth. Like, I mean, there was touchdown scored. UNLV had a lead, 10-7, ending the first quarter. But Charles Williams' injury, his knee injury, which was a pretty tough hit, a legal hit, mind you, but anybody who plays the game understands that kind of a bit of a punk move, to put it lightly. There's other words that might have been said by that, but Charles leaving the game with that knee injury definitely sapped the energy from the team, and they were never able to recover offensively from that. And the offense just doesn't look the same without him. I mean, Darren Williams came in and tried to fill his shoes, just not as explosive as a running back, so the offense struggled to find their footing after that. But, defensively, boy, the floodgates just opened up in the second quarter. They rattled off 20-some unanswered points, and it was cakewalks, to the end zone. There was a run there in that first half where the runner broke six tackles, and it looked like a 40-yard gain. He just ran through everybody, and really was just not a good showing defensively for that second quarter. There were spurts, where they made good stands and did good things, but any team that wants to win a game can't have a quarter where they give up 20-plus points and in such an easy fashion the way they did in that second quarter.
The defense got carved up. It looked like watching a hot knife go through butter the way they ran through the defense in that second quarter. It was pretty bad. This is Blazin, and I hope you got one. You started me on this reverse Blazin a couple weeks ago, man, and I'm stuck on it now. And I've got to do a couple of those. A reverse Blazin, first of all, goes to the dubious honor of the Detroit Tigers. Caleb Maggs, do you realize that going into the last day of the season today, the Detroit Tigers are 53.5 games out of first place?
They've also lost, 105 games?
But I'm saying 53 games. You hear that? Some leagues don't even play 53 games. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous, man. I mean, that is as bad as it gets. It really is.
And the sad thing for Detroit is the Red Wings aren't going to be much better, and the Pistons probably aren't going to be very good.
And the Lions are a house of cards waiting to collapse. Yeah. It'll happen this afternoon.
Matt Patricia will be exposed yet again.
Yeah, this afternoon, the Kansas City Chiefs. But I got to tell you, and then also transversely on the other side, Verlander gets his 3,000th strikeout, which is going to put him in the Hall. And he was a Detroit Tiger, but of course he's got his World Series ring with the team he plays for right now, the Houston Astros. And one other one, and I don't know, you guys help me out. Caleb, do you think this is a reverse Blazin? Mac Brown, I mean, I know the guy is older than dirt, but he's done a good job this year at North Carolina, getting the head coaching opportunity again last season. But they've got a chance to tie the game against Clemson. Okay, I know, you've also got a chance to win the game right there and then. But the bottom line is, go into overtime, get the game tied. You're playing the number one team in the country. I just don't get it. And I look at it in retrospect, and, I understand it is a decision to make, but to me, kick the extra point, man. You've got the momentum. You just scored the touchdown. It's in your favor. Kick the extra point, right?
Yeah, no, there's the school of thought at the end of games where, you play for overtime if you're at home, and you play for the win if you're on the road. And I think that was the case. If you're going to go for two, even worse than making the decision to go for two, run a better play than a speed option into the teeth of a defense. It's not like
terrible.
You have Cam Newton or
and he ran it to the short side of the field. They were on the right hash mark, I believe. I mean, why would you run an option to the short side? Give yourself more room.
You give yourself no chance there with the play. I don't know if I'd necessarily call that a reverse Blazin. That was just kind of, maybe if we were doing like a Shaqton a fool, we could call it.
The bottom line is
it was cool for having Clemson on the ropes like that. So I give Mac Brown credit for that. I think the line on that was 27.5 points. So nobody in their right mind would have thought that North Carolina of all teams would take Clemson to the wire like that. So kudos for being in that situation, but I think you definitely with all the momentum of being in that game, you definitely play for overtime, though.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, $100 bet on the money line yesterday in that game, if you bet North Carolina, $100 got you $1,600. I mean, that's how, you're right. It was a 4-touchdown favorite. And I just, like I said, how different is everything today if we wake up and the number one team gets beat by an unranked team that's 2-2 going in, or 1-2, or 2-1 going in, whatever it was. I was really shocked by that. And I think Clemson's been exposed. That's a conversation for another day. But right now, I'll be blown away if they are still the number one team in the country after the weekend. They definitely don't deserve it. And I think Alabama, Oklahoma, and a few other teams would pound Clemson right now from what I've seen them this year. They're a team that is not nearly as sound as a team that won the national championship last year. One other blazon that I do want to give out on the positive side, and I've already made him blazon before, but how about Pete Alonso, man? I mean, he's going into the last day of the season right now. 53 home runs. He broke the rookie record just set recently by Aaron Judge, but it is pretty amazing. 53 home runs, 4 ahead of the closest guy. He leads the majors. He's not going to get caught. It's amazing. A rookie, 53 dingers in his first season. That is, we saw Judge do it, but Judge is a mountain of a man. This was really a surprise and pretty darn cool for the New York Mets and for Major League Baseball. So that one, and the final blazon I'm going to give, I gave a bunch of them today, is that
Jesus Christ, how many blazons?
Hey, you're going to like this one. This one is that new commercial. Have you seen the new Nissan commercial with the Heisman Trophy winners, with Kyler Murray and Eddie George and Tim Brown, Baker Mayfield and Bo Jackson? Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, there's a couple. But yeah, well, no, the one when he's wearing a suit.
He comes walking in the house and he's got his Oakland A's colors on. He's got a baseball helmet and he comes walking in, the lights on. He like puts the lights on and there's Eddie George. Eddie George flips the lights and goes, "Kyler, are you playing baseball again?" And he looks at him, and then another light comes out. It's Tim Brown at the corner. He's, "Man, you got to give that stuff up. This just isn't going to work for you." And Baker Mayfield's like, "Yeah, what is the matter with you, man? I mean, this." And all of a sudden, so he's standing there, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, we're high. Because you're a Heisman Trophy winner, for God's sakes," or something like that. Next thing you know, Bo Jackson walks in with his baseball gear on. He goes, "Man, I hit a double, a triple, and I hit one out today." He goes, "Why is Bo allowed to play baseball?" And they all kind of look at him. It's really great. And then on the couch, Tim Tebow's laying on the couch. He goes, "I don't understand the problem with any of this." And somebody throws something at him. I thought that was blazing. Great idea for a commercial. You like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I mean, conceptually, it's funny. They've made some funny ones this year, but yeah, I do think that's a funny concept, actually.
I thought it was
good. Thanks for bringing it up.
There you go.
Gotta look for it now.
Okay, what do you got for blazing?
Well, you kind of took one of the ones I was going to bring up with the Pete Alonso deal, because that's, he used to break that record. Anytime a record's broken, that has to be blazing. But I want to talk about the year of the backup right now in college football, because a couple of teams have had to go deep in their quarterback depth chart, namely USC, who's on their third string, didn't win against Washington. But backup quarterbacks stepping in and doing what they have to do. I think the best game I watched this weekend was the Arkansas versus Texas A&M game. And their backup came into the game and absolutely made some great throws. I mean, Ben Hicks didn't really know he was going to get thrust in there, but he came in and he did his job, and he was on fire for most of the fourth quarter and led us almost come back from behind touchdown victory that ended in an incompletion on 4th and 5 in the red zone. And probably the most exciting game of the weekend that I watched live. So at Jerry World in Texas, there, that game's always a big one. Texas A&M versus Arkansas, for whatever reason, is a thing. And that was a really great game. So, but no, Hicks and, that Arkansas team rallying around their backup quarterback, the second team to do it so far. USC ended in a victory when they went to their backup, but it's cool to see backup quarterbacks get in and do well. I mean, our backup at UNLV got in and did well, and albeit there was no real intrigue to the game, it's just cool to see backup quarterbacks getting a chance and coming in. And Ben Hicks, I think, was blazing for that fourth quarter comeback attempt that he led against Texas A&M, but just came up short at the end. But he's blazing still. The year of the backup. that for is, college football.
You're the backup, and you even see it in the pros. How about a guy like Jacoby Brissett before, you know, the season started, you know, before Andrew Luck went away, everyone's like, man, wow, and then he does go away. The Colts are just in such big trouble, and a backup like Jacoby Brissett comes in, you realize this guy's a pretty damn good athlete. And the Colts, you know, I mean, they're looking like a team that could surprise and make the playoffs. Mags, what do you got, man? What's blazing?
Well, both you guys stole my Peter Alonso, and should mention he did play here last year for the Las Vegas 51s and closed Cashman Field with a walk-off home run. But I'm going to go with arrival of the Rebels for blazing, and I guess in hindsight you could also do a reverse blazing for the other team that played in this game, also a rival of the Rebels. The two teams that the Rebels play for a trophy played last night in the truck stop city, Reno. Bad weather. It was like sleet, snow, rain, wind, a little bit of everything up there at Mackey Stadium. Well, the trash dump, a.k.a. the Wolfpack, got their doors blown off 54-3 by the team that currently holds the giant pineapple, University of Hawaii. I was shocked that Hawaii was able to go up to the hellhole we call Reno and absolutely humiliate the Wolfpack in Mackey Stadium. I mean, the Wolfpack, it's hard to believe this team beat Purdue earlier in the season at home, remember? And then they get absolutely crushed last night by the Rainbow Warriors. Good job by Hawaii. I wasn't expecting that. Put up 54 points on the road in that type of weather. Nick Rolovich has his team playing well. Don't like the way it's going to turn out when UNLV plays
them. I was just about to say that that just bodes terrible for UNLV. And then a week later, they play the one winnable game. I look on their schedule at San Jose State.
Well, San Jose State won yesterday, too.
I know that. And UNLV's going to have...
I'm sorry. San Jose didn't win yesterday. Air Force beat San Jose State, but San Jose State's got two wins on the season.
No, they do. And San Jose State, the bottom line is they're going to come into UNLV after UNLV just gets done playing a pretty damn good Hawaii team a week later. They could be beaten up, and that could end up being a long game, too.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, we looked at this stretch of games basically saying if UNLV didn't beat Arkansas State,
it's a lot of trouble.
It could be a five-game losing streak, mm-hmm. And I think the way things are going, it has the ability to be a much, much longer losing streak.
I think people are going to be wearing Caleb Herring jerseys at the next game.
Well, they won't. They, you know what? Maybe people will show up in the stands in Bobby Houck masks.
There it is. We got it in. We knew
Max,
we
were. Not you too. No.
Hey, listen, real quick, Caleb, I want you to hang around for 1 minute because I was going to do the new feature, but instead of going to break, we'll do nightcap after break, Mags. Let's jump right into the S&B with C, and that is the silver and black we're talking about with Caleb Herring and the Oakland Raiders real quick, Caleb, because I do want to get your pick before we let you go too. But the Oakland Raiders, I mean, they start off week one. Everyone thought, okay, wow, Derek Carr looked decent. If you remember, I said when this season starts in 2020, Derek Carr won't be the starting quarterback of the Raiders. I'm not wavering from that. I have not liked what I saw so far from the Raiders. And today they head to that team we were just talking about, to Indianapolis, to play the Colts and Jacoby Brissett. And the Colts offense, they run this three tight end set that is actually really cool because they have some skilled tight ends there. But defensively, the Colts are probably one of the better teams in the AFC. They're really showing up. And, you know, as a matter of fact, when you talk about offensively, and I just talked about their defense, but you know, the Colts this year, Caleb, in 11 trips to the red zone in the first three games, they have scored 8 touchdowns. That is better than the Chiefs, the Patriots, and the Rams.
Yeah, so they're solid in the red zone. And part of it may be because of that three tight end set, like you mentioned, that creates a lot of mismatches in the red zone and a lot of opportunities for those guys to come down and catch it, and they just stick to the basics and don't try to get too exotic or creative when they get opportunities in the red zone. So it's not like the Colts are some gimme game. I mean, I think a lot of teams across the league and a lot of people across the league, when Andrew Luck announced his retirement so suddenly, kind of wrote the Colts off. And for whatever reason, they have not written themselves off. And they're going to try to win, obviously paying Jacoby Brissett a lot when Andrew Luck decides to retire. So he's a happy man. He got a big bump in his pay when Luck retired, but he's playing well too this year. He has 7 touchdowns and just 1 interception, so he's not, you know, playing terribly. And you know, the good thing for the Raiders is that T.Y. Hilton, I think, is still due to be out this game. He's their leading receiver, but the Raiders haven't started off as hot as we hoped. I mean, after that first week against the Broncos, the Raiders have kind of turned back into the Raiders of last season. So there's not a lot of optimism for what we expected for this season, and this game coming up could be more of the same, where the Raiders could have a potential to do Greg Carr to come out and have a good, solid completion percentage or whatever you want to call it. But it's just not enough for whatever reason to get a win in the end. And that's kind of the story of the Raiders right now. You play good, not bad enough to say exactly what the problem is, but then you don't end up with a win in the end. And like you said, the Colts are a formidable opponent in the AFC, but it made news again. I don't like doing this, but Antonio Brown makes news again with Raiders involvement and his grievance, trying to get some money from the Raiders now after, losing his $30 million guarantee. That just kind of made me laugh that the Raiders can't, while the season's not going what they want it to, the Raiders can't even shake the Antonio Brown drama. He's filing a grievance trying to get some money that he's apparently owed, in his opinion, by the Raiders. But yeah, it doesn't look good for the Raiders this year. Where we started off with some excitement against Denver, it's kind of skid downhill. And based on the odds, it looks like people are expecting that slide will continue with Indy being the favorite coming into this week's matchup.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you look at their losses, they beat the Broncos. The Broncos, we know, are a bad team. They might not be as bad as a team as the Miami Dolphins are, who I think might be one of the worst teams I've seen in the last decade. They're still a pretty bad team. And the Raiders, other than that, they played Kansas City, a pretty good team. They got beat by 20 points by Minnesota last week. And, I think the Colts, this is a team that, if they're going to play well or they're going to turn their season around or turn it to a positive, Caleb, I think the Raiders really need to play well in this game and maybe even beat the Colts. Even though the Colts are better than people expected, I think if you're any kind of a playoff team, you got to go in there after a couple of losses, stand up, bow your neck, and beat this team. And I don't know that the Silver and Black had it in them this year. And I already said I thought at the beginning of the season I thought the Raiders were a 6-win team, and everyone argued with me, and I'm not wavering from that one either. I'm not seeing anything right now that is proving that they are better than a 6-win team. I think Josh Jacobs is a pretty cool-looking running back, but I think they've got to get an offensive line that makes some holes for the guy. And maybe I'll use the offensive line as an excuse, and their play hasn't been great this year as to why Derek Carr is not better, but Derek Carr just doesn't impress me. Listen, that's a Silver and Black S&B with C. And the last thing, Caleb, two things before I let you go and before we go to break. Number one is, what, if anything, can UNLV do to fix this and stop the bleeding? Or is this going to be a 1-at-best 2-win team? Because right now, I don't see another win on the schedule, and I'm being flat-out honest. And number two is, who is going to be your pick of the week? Because right now, you are 0-4 and struggling bad.
My goodness, that's a load of questioning there. But, the answers for UNLV, unfortunately, are questions, because Charles Williams is not healthy. I think turning to Kenny Nova, it looks like something that would change things. I don't know if that's necessarily going to save the season, but you just got to be more consistent. Find a way to be consistent, because there's a good team that's sleeping somewhere in that UNLV locker room, and they show up every once in a while, but they disappear for too much of the game, and that's kind of the problem. There's no consistency, and you can't be a good team without being consistent and doing consistently the good things over and over each week, and there's just not enough consistency to even say what the real problem is right now with the Rebels. So it doesn't look very good, especially, like I said, with Charles Williams, the number one fix-it ticket for the Rebels is out with an unknown injury. We'll get more information on that, of course, in the week, but it does look tough for the Rebels, especially during this stretch. But, to answer your question about my pick, it's tough. My pick calculator is all wrong right now. I don't have much good, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys over the Saints. I like that, just without Drew Brees being back yet. I think the Cowboys can pull that one off. they do enough to get that done. And I'm pretty confident in this. When I get back to my winning ways this week with the Cowboys over the Saints.
Well, he's going with America's team. They're 3-0. The Saints 2-1. The Saints are actually surprising without Drew Brees. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. Cowboys 2.5-point favorites on the road at New Orleans. And that is going to be Caleb's pick. We'll take it. Caleb, get some rest. And we'll have you back in here next week. And, man, I sure hope at some point this season we can say something positive about UNLV. Because right now, Bobby Houck is sounding pretty good.
My goodness. Never. Stop it.
Hey, he is Caleb Harry, the co-host. We're going to let the guy get to bed. Appreciate you, brother. We'll see you in the studio next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Mags, let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll do our nightcap. And we also have a few other things to talk about. I want to mention the golf outing again that's coming up this week. It's going to be a great time. Gave away some tickets last week. And also down the road, we've got the pick segment still coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about week 4 in the NFL and, of course, Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports.
They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Nightcap. It is a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights and a couple things. The Vegas Golden Knights will take to the ice against the arch rival San Jose Sharks tonight. It is a preseason game, but they're trying to stop a two-game losing skid. And, be a good time to stop it right before the regular season gets underway. Going to be interesting to see how the lineup goes with Alex Tuch hurt. I think that opens the door for Cody Glass maybe to get the initial nod on this team and not have to go back to Chicago. Number one, Mags, I want to talk about that. And also Kelly McCrimmon, man. George McPhee relinquishing the general manager position and giving it to Kelly McCrimmon, a guy that's familiar with the Vegas Golden Knights. I mean, follows the philosophy. I don't think it changes a whole great deal. I'm just a little bit surprised. I don't need to know why George McPhee had to give up that role. He hasn't done too bad of a job in the first two seasons of Golden Knights' existence. They make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. And last year, other than some horrific officiating at the end of the seventh game in the San Jose series, they're at least in the second round last year. But now, Kelly McCrimmon.
Well, I think the reason you give up or McPhee steps down is because I think you don't want to lose Kelly McCrimmon. I think that's his name was mentioned for a couple jobs, Edmonton most notably. I think the Golden Knights feel like they have something in Kelly McCrimmon that they don't want to lose. And, you know, like you said, George McPhee's done a good job. He's still involved in things. But, you know, for Kelly McCrimmon, it's an opportunity to be a general manager. You know, there is a very, even going back to year one, Kelly McCrimmon has had a pretty big impact on this team. His name and his stamp of approval has been on the team because he is a Manitoba guy. And you look around, there's a lot of Manitoba connections with this team, and you can even include it to the broadcast. Shane Knighty,
yeah,
a Winnipeg guy. Gary Lawless, a Winnipeg guy. You know, Cody Eakin, a Winnipeg guy. Cody Glass, a Winnipeg guy. Ryan Reeves, a Winnipeg guy. So there is a big Manitoba connection, and I feel like a lot of that has to do with Kelly McCrimmon. You know, Reed Duke was the very first player they ever signed. He played for the Brandon Wheat Kings, which is a team that Kelly McCrimmon owns, junior team. So, you know, his stamp has been all over this franchise, and I think there's a lot of people that would tell you, without Kelly McCrimmon, the team is not as nearly as successful as they are. I mean, obviously, George McPhee has proven that he's a pretty good general manager. You know, he basically built that Washington Capitals team that ended up, unfortunately, beating the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago, but you know, they work well together. There's a good contrast in styles, I think. And, you know, I feel like that's a good marriage. And I think George McPhee realized what he had in Kelly McCrimmon. And I think, you know, maybe George had the attitude that, hey, I can still stick around and be part of this organization, which is a first-class organization, still be involved in personnel decisions, but allow my friend and my colleague, Kelly McCrimmon, to now have the reins of the team and watch him grow as a general manager He's highly respected around the league.
Well, I think, Mags, what you said earlier makes a lot of sense. You know what? You've got to give – if you don't give him this opportunity, another team is going to.
Yes.
And so why not just give him the tag, pay him a little bit more money, and keep him here in Vegas, and keep this unit, the initial unit, at least the brass of the Vegas Golden Knights intact.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of – again, his stamp is on this team. A lot of people may not know – he's known Mark Stone a very long time, going back to when Mark Stone was just a young guy. Mark Stone basically said, without Kelly McCrimmon, I probably don't come to Vegas.
Wow, and you know, in 2 years, Mags, that's probably that could be the difference in Mark Stone staying in Vegas and him leaving in a couple of years when his contract's up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's a long road down, long way down the road. But, you know, I really feel like Kelly McCrimmon is a guy who can build a winning franchise. I mean, he's a good guy to talk to. He's a very, very smart guy. And, you know, you could see, look, you don't get to be a general manager in the NHL without having a lot of a good work ethic and a lot of hockey knowledge. I feel like Kelly McCrimmon's got that. And the other what I like about him is he doesn't quite have that. He's kind of cut in the same cloth as George, where he's not going to tell you a whole lot. He's not going to tell you exactly what their plans are. And I think for a general manager, that's what you want. You want a guy who's not blabbing and telling you all the information, because it could tip other teams off as to what you want to do.
Gerard Gallant, same personality. Yeah, yep. I mean, you know, he will absolutely not tip his hat. Very, very blasé in his responses, and unless you piss him off. I mean, that's Gerard Gallant.
Yeah.
You piss him off, he lets you know it in his very subtle way. He lets you know you pissed him off, and usually the press conference ends right after you piss him off.
Yeah, I pissed him off.
I have too. I mean, it's just something that's going to happen. But, you know, as far as the Golden Knights go, and the last thing I wanted to mention to you, I did mention, you know, with Alex Tuck, granted he's a winger, but with him being out, and I know I'd like to see Cody Glass play in the middle, I'd like to see him beef up a little bit, but does Alex Tuck being hurt right now at the start of the season pave the way? Because Cody Glass, you know, he's been a big topic of conversation this season, Mags. When he was drafted number one a couple of years ago, everyone expected this would be the year we would see him morph into the NHL. And now with Tuck out, he's played well. Does he get the opportunity, or do they say, well, he's not a winger, he's a centerman, so it's not going to be him that's going to get the nod?
Well, the key here is Cody Eakin as well. Cody Eakin also left the Kings game with a little bit of a knock. Now, we know he's day-to-day, and whereas Alex Tuck is week-to-week.
He took a brutal hit late in the game. Boy,
Cody Eakin did.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he took a brutal
hit. But I think that, you know, he's day-to-day, so we're not sure where he stands for the opener. But I always felt like Cody Glass's best opportunity to be on this team opening night was as a center. Now, I don't feel like they're going to play him on wing, but I do feel like if Cody Eakin is out, and then Cody Glass will definitely be in that lineup on Wednesday night when the San Jose Sharks roll into town. But I don't feel like he's a winger. He is a centerman. He creates a lot of offense. He can dangle a little bit. He can get through other teams' defense. So the question becomes, if Cody Eakin is unable to go, does Cody Glass, for protection and allowing him to really excel and maybe balance out the lines, does he play on that second line between Max Pacioretty and Mark Stone? And for the time being, you bump Paul Stastny down to the third line, and you put him between Brandon Peary and Valentin Zhykov. Zhykov has been a guy who's been really impressive in the preseason.
Really impressive.
He's earned his spot, and I really feel like he has a guy who he's a guy who, hey, you know what? We didn't know a whole lot about him. We didn't have a lot of opportunity to see him. The franchise saw something in him. He stayed in Vegas all summer, worked. You know, that's the big key, right? This team is all about hard work. He's a guy who's earned it. He's earned it the hard way. And I really feel like he could have a breakout season. And, I mean, if he does, what a steal for the Golden Knights to pick this guy up off of waivers if he's able to have a breakout. I mean, if you can get 10 or 15 goals out of Valentin Zhykov, that's phenomenal.
And the upside's so big. He's only 24 years old, man.
I mean, his shot, his release is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and the way he's able to maintain possession of the puck behind the net. I mean, he's a big guy.
He is.
I mean, he's not tall, but he's solid. And he's very muscular, very strong guy. And I think if you put him with Paul Stastny, Stastny sees the ice so well, but he's such a good 200-foot player that it would allow Brandon Peary and Valentin Zhykov to really play their game offensively, and maybe that leads to some good things. And I do think when Eakin comes back, you would then move Eakin back to the third line and Stasny back between Pacioretty and Stone, where he's at his best.
Well, it's all going to depend on how Cody Glass plays and the limited opportunity he gets.
And it's also going to depend on Cody Eakin's health.
Yeah, you're right. I'm saying to keep him up here, you know, if he plays great when Cody Eakin's gone, what do? Do you move Nosek off? Do you start scratching Nosek and put a little guy like Cody Glass on a bruiser line?
No, maybe what you would do at that point is move Eakin down the fourth line. And then Nosek to the wing on the fourth line, and then play either Carrier or Reeves on the other side, because Nosek, of course, can also play center and wing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good problem to have if you're the Golden Knights, if Cody Glass excels.
Yeah, it is, but it's gonna, you know, the thing is you have a few guys that aren't gonna make this team that need to.
Well, do they?
We'll see, Chris. I think there's some guys. It's gonna be an interesting season for the Golden Knights, put it that way, and seeing who's gonna clear waivers when that time comes as well. Listen, we got to take a quick break. We're gonna come back on the other side. We will have Michael Babcock from TMZ Sports fact this, and we are also gonna talk about the Vegas Golden Knights watch party that's going to be going on Wednesday night. That is the 2nd of October. It is the first regular season game for the Knights. It's at T-Mobile. We won't be there. I'll be out, I should say. First home season opener I'm going to miss in the three seasons they've been here, but I'll be having a good time and giving away a lot of stuff out at Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, the one out on where is that one out? I'll let you know when I get back exactly where that one is. I believe it's North Craig Road, where that one is. But we will take a break. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. We'll be back on the other side with Michael Babcock.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact. T-Pain is not a Dolphins fan. Fact. Antonio Gates wants to come out of retirement. Hall of Famer Bruce Smith is telling the Bills defense to punish Tom Brady. And it's a fact, Tyreek Hill's baby's mama says the only way she lets him see his baby more is if he lets her move in with him. What the hell? This is Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports to make sense of all those facts. What's up, brother?
What's up, Brian? How are you?
Man, I'm good. I all those things are facts. I mean, I'm not playing real news or fake news. It's all real news, man. Start off right at the beginning. I mean, didn't T-Pain years ago do the Dolphins theme song, right?
He did. He did the Dolphins theme song, and if anybody out there, a single one of you, was wondering why he did that, he did it for the money, which he revealed. I thought it was a cool clip with T-Pain that we got when one of our cameras ran into him. But I think his overall message was one that was good to hear also, that a lot of these guys don't really care about the team that we live or die for. And if our team loses on Sunday, it hurts us, and we carry it through the week. But what T-Pain said was, these guys don't care. They just play for your team because they're getting paid, and that's the bottom line. And I think that is a good message, and I think that is I think that 99% of the time that us fans care a whole hell of a lot more than the guys on our team do about the outcome of these games.
You know what's funny is, working for the Detroit Lions radio network, there was a couple guys on the team that were friends of mine, and they truly didn't even know the standings of, like, the other divisions of who was winning. I mean, they really didn't. They knew their own division, right. But that was about it. I mean, it's like they didn't pay attention to football. So there is a point there, but I think everyone starts out playing for the love of the game. And being the fact that T-Pain is from Miami, I mean, it would have made sense that he was a Dolphins fan, but he is not. How about another fact? Antonio Gates is not ready to hang it up. I want to know, if he does sign a contract, is he going to get a stipulation in the contract saying that he wants to make sure that his grandchildren get front row seats?
It's funny because a lot of people thought Antonio was done, obviously one of the greatest tight ends ever.
He was done like 4 years ago, and he keeps coming back.
I know. So we saw him. He looks like he's in good shape. He looks like he could still play, and, you know, what that means when you actually get on a football field and start getting hit, I don't know. I don't know if he can still take the hit. But he is adamant about not being done, and he really, truly does want to come back and says that he has Steelers out there, so he's actually trying to actively make this happen.
I think he still could play at Kent State. That being said, is it true Bruce Smith, you know, came out and basically told the Bills, look, this is a monstrous game, which we know they're 3-0, a shocker. The Bills playing great. Their young quarterback out of Wyoming, whoever knew that he would start. I don't know. I really didn't think he was going to be that great in the NFL, but I'm a guy that watches the Mountain West, and I'm just like, I can't imagine anyone coming out in the Mountain West being a great quarterback, what right. I've seen the last couple of years. But he has turned out to be decent. But my question is, what's Bruce Smith doing, man? You're saying to punish the GOAT?
Yeah, punish the GOAT. That's how you beat him. You got to get in Tom Brady's face. Bruce Smith said hard single hits. That's how you beat him. And, I mean, I don't think that's any secret really there. That's how you beat Tom Brady. You've got to pressure him. He doesn't like people at his feet. I think the Giants, especially in 2007, that's how the Giants beat Tom Brady. Constant pressure on him. And that's how you beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. I'm happy for the Buffalo Bills. They have a meaningful game, 3-0. This kind of signifies to the world here today if they are for real or not. I look back at the numbers since 2001. I think, if I remember right, they're 32-4 against the 4-32. Essentially, had no success. So it'll be fun to watch that game today. But Bruce Smith says if you want to beat him, you got to put pressure on him.
Well, you got to put pressure on him. I think teams have been trying to do that his whole career. And Tom Brady finds a way to get rid of the ball, and he finds a way to do what the Patriots just do, and that's win. But the Bills are not – I think the Bills are not a joke. I think 3-0 is legit. I think, like I said, the house of cards of the undefeated teams, and the Detroit Lions, even though they kissed their sister against the Arizona Cardinals in Game 1, they are still undefeated at 2-0-1. Yep. And I say that is the team that's the house of cards, and we are going to watch them crumble badly today against the Kansas City Chiefs when they invade Ford Field. A stat that I was pretty amazed at is I did not realize that Patrick Mahomes has never played in an indoor stadium, which is pretty which is pretty incredible. And if you think all of his life he's been playing against the elements, people are like, how's he going to do in an indoor stadium? Listen, the only way he has a bad game is if he's so used to throwing in elements that he overthrows all of his receivers. That's all Detroit can hope for him to win the game. Finally, before we get to our pick segment, I'm going to have you kick it off as our guest picker today against the spread, one game. The final fact, Tariq Hill's baby's mama is basically saying that the only way she's going to let him see the baby more is if he lets her move in with him in his Kansas City home. What the hell?
Right. Well, that's something she said before all this child abuse stuff happened. That's actually part of, like, the lead-up to the story. Like, they had a kid together, and Tyreek wanted to see the child. He was making these, like, long treks to see the kid at least 8 times, Tyreek says. And then finally, as the baby mama said, you know, you can see the kid more if you allow us to live with you. And Tyreek did allow the mother and the child to live with him. And then that, Brian, is when all of the stuff that we're all well aware of with the child abuse, you know, the alleged child abuse, all that stuff happened while they were living under the same roof. Then they broke up, and the mother of the child took the baby with her. So now Tyreek is going to court, and he is trying to, legally trying to fight to get some custody over this child. But it's really it's a difficult situation, particularly knowing everything that went on. And you just, I think, you know, as a person, you're a little uneasy about, you know, Tyreek or the mother having this child after knowing that something happened to this kid and this kid was hurt. And, it's a tough situation. It's difficult.
It really is a difficult situation. I wish it would just kind of quiet down. I mean, you know, the yep. Chiefs right now, one of the most exciting teams to watch in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes is elevating himself to, it's arguably the best quarterback in today's game, and yet yep. the Chiefs can't get rid of these things, these shadows that keep hanging over him. I mean, the poor Andy Reid, man, the guy's got a dark cloud over his head.
If anyone can deal with it, though, it's Andy Reid.
It is Andy Reid. He's got a lot under his belt, a lot more than just a big belly. So hopefully he can take care of it. Listen, Michael, we do our pick segment every week, and before I let you go, I'm going to let you be our guest picker today against the spread. One game against the spread. You tell me the game you like, and we go by the spread in the Las Vegas Review Journal on Sunday morning. So I'll let you know what the spread is once you pick the game. Who do you like today and why?
Okay, just because I'm unprepared for this, Brian, I'm going to go with my heart here. What's the Giants for? Were the Giants getting 3 points?
I'll tell you right now, let me find the Giants are Mags, you see what they're getting? Let's see. Hold on a second. I'm looking for them right now. They're playing the Skins. They're giving 3 points at home versus the Redskins. And it's funny, Mags was just talking about the new quarterback of the New York Giants a little bit ago. So who do you like? You like the?
I like the Giants. I'm a Giants fan. You know, lifelong. I'm obsessed with the Daniel Jones. He looked so good last week. The Redskins looked so bad. I will go with the Giants. They will, giving up three, the Giants will win the game.
Redskins, the second worst team in the league next Miami. He's Michael Babcock, TMSB Sports. We appreciate you. But Chris, who do you got?
I'm going to go with the Titans getting points on the road against the Falcons. I'm not sold on Matt Ryan at home. I like the Titans' defense. Marcus Mariota shows up. I think the Titans have a good chance in that
Mags is going to take the Titans getting 3.5 in Atlanta. And I am going to go with those Indianapolis Colts against the Raiders. They are given 6.5 points up at home. I think they're going to blow out the Oakland Raiders. And it's going to be a two-touchdown game at least. There's our pick segment. This is Out of Line. I want to thank, of course, Caleb Herring for joining us after a long flight. Michael Babcock, TMZ Sports. Of course, Chris Magnum Chapman behind the big board. I'm Brian Feldman. It's Out of Line. We're back next Sunday, 8 o'clock. We will see you then. Bye-bye.